This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الأحبة في الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل 80 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, there is a man by the name of Abu Idris al-Khawlani. And he entered al-Masjid al-Kabir, the grand mosque, fi Dimashq, in Damascus. And when he entered the masjid, he found a man sitting in front of the people, and he described him to be very smiling. And people were gathered around him and they were asking questions and he was answering them. So he asked, who is this man? قالوا هذا معاذ بن جبل. They said, this is معاذ بن جبل. So Abu Idris al-Khawlani came the following day in the early morning, very early, at Fajr time, thinking that he's going to be the first one. But when he entered the masjid, he found somebody in the mihrab praying. And when he came close to him, it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So he came close to him, he said, are you Mu'adh ibn Jabal? One of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who was so praised when it comes to his knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَأْتِي مُعَادِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَبَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ رَمْيَةْ حَجَرٍ. Meaning that Mu'adh ibn Jabal will come on the day of judgment and there will be a huge distance. He's going to be in front of the scholars. There's a big space between all of them and he's going to be in the front. He said, yes, I am Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, Inni uhibbuka fillah. Indeed, I love you for the sake of Allah. And Mu'adh drew him closer to him and he said, Allahi fillah, do you really only love me for the sake of Allah? فقال أبو إدريس الخولاني نعم yes. قال إني أبشرك أني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وجبت محبتي للمتحابين فيه. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it an obligation on himself, and nobody can obligate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whoever love his brother or sister for the sake of Allah, it becomes an obligation on Allah to love those people who love one another for the sake of Allah. That's good news. And when you study history, across history you will find that so many people before us claimed that they love Allah. Not only that, they also claim that Allah loves them. Which is really strange. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inviting the people of the book, at his time they said, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. They said to him, you know what, we are the children of Allah. Not only we love him, no, وَأَحِبَّاءُ, Allah loves us. How can you guarantee that? Despite the fact that we read in Al-Fatiha 17 times, at least in the Fard, we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Ya Allah, guide us to the straight path, which is Islam. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those on whom you have bestowed your own blessings. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. When you read in most books of tafsir, They will say, those whom Allah is angry with are Banu Israel, those to whom Musa alayhi salam was sent. And Ad-Dallin, those who go astray in life, are the people who should follow Isa alayhi salam, but they did not. And we always generalize, saying that this applies to everyone from Bani Israel. But the truth is not, you know, this is not true. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He's angry with those people, we should know the reason. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Jum'ah, so number 62 and number 5, He said,
مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها.
The similitude, the likeness of those who were given the Torah, not to carry it, if you translate it literally, it means to act upon it, to study it, understand it, and then act upon it. And they did not do so. كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا. It's like a donkey carrying books on its back. What's the benefit of books on its back? أسفار جمع سفر وهو الكتاب. So is Allah angry with everyone amongst people who are called the Jews? The answer is no. Because those who followed Musa alayhi salam and they followed the Torah are called Muslims. Because they submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is not angry with them. Allah is angry with those who have the book and they know what's in the book, but they don't follow the book. Or they change the book. وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Those who go astray in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Isa to the same people, Bani Israel. Some of them accepted his message. They're called Muslims. They're not called Christians. They're called Muslims. Because they submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepted the message that was given to them at that time. But those who don't seek knowledge and understand their faith, those are dallin, those who go astray in life. So we cannot generalize. The same thing applies to the Muslims today. Are there Muslims today who have the book called the Quran in their hands, but they know nothing about it and they don't act upon it? Allah is also angry with them. The same rule applies. Are there Muslims who have no idea about the Quran and they don't even like to seek the guidance of the Quran and they go astray in life? They are dallin. So we need to understand this. We should not generalize. So if people across history claim that they love Allah, and not only that, they claim that Allah loves them, how can you guarantee that? So the question of the khutbah today is, it's not about our claim that we love Allah. What really matters is, does Allah love us? That should be the question. So, if we go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we'll find in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا نَادَى يَا جِبْرِيلِ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ عَبْدِي فُلَانِ فَأَحِبَّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He calls upon Jibreel and He would say, Jibreel, I love my slave so and so, so love him or her. Then Jibreel loves him or her. It's a command by Allah. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي جِبْرِيلِ فِي الْمَلَأِ الْأَعْلَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ عَبْدَهُ فُلَانِ فَأَحِبُّهُ فَتُحِبُّهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Then Jibreel calls upon the angels and he would say to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his slave so and so, so love him or her, so the angels love him or her. And the third prize, al-ja'iza al-thalitha, thumma yuda'a lahu al-qabul fi al-ard. People will love him. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَبْدًا يُحِبُّهُ النَّاسِ وَيَقْبَلُهُ النَّاسِ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تُحِبُّهُ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ جِبْرِيلْ يُحِبُّهُ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُحِبُّهُ. So if you see someone who's loved by people, it means that the angels love him, it means that Jibreel loves him, and it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. وَالْعَكْسِ بِالْعَكْسِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَبْغَضَ عَبْدًا. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like someone, He'll call upon Jibreel. يَا جِبْرِيلْ إِنِّي أُبْغِضُ عَبْدِي فِلَانْ فَأَبْغِضْهُ. Oh Jibreel, I don't like my slave so and so, so don't like him. فيبغضه جبريل. And then Jibreel will call upon the angels. And again, ثم توضع له البغضاء في الأرض. So if you see somebody not liked or hated by people, it's a sign that the angels have the same feelings, Jibreel alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how can we get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Since you're saying what really matters is the question, does Allah love us? It's easy to claim that we love Allah. And if I were to ask everyone here amongst the speakers, do you love Allah? You know, it goes without saying, everybody would say, of course, yes. How dare you ask this question? But subhanAllah, in real life, if I were to put you and myself to the test, most of us would fail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, ayah number 24, He talked about 11 types of love. He said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ عَفْوًا The ayah says, قُلْ إِن كَانَ This is conditional if. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Muhammad, O Muhammad, say to them, if, and count with me, آبَاؤُكُمْ Your parents, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ Your children, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ Your siblings, وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ Your spouses, وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ Your kinship, your extended family, وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا Wealth you have been accumulating, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا The wealth increased, it became business and you fear decline in that business. وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا Houses wherein you dwell. You know, you want to do renovation, you want to change the color, you want to change the style of the furniture. These are 8 loves. He said, أحب إليكم. Oh Muhammad, say to them, if you love those 8, more than the following. من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Meaning, if you put those 8 in your heart before Allah and His Messenger and jihad in fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then first of all, Allah is warning us. He said, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ Wait until Allah brings about His action. You're going to leave this dunya. And if you leave this dunya while you are in this condition, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي Then you're not guided. And what's the essence of our life? What's the message of the Quran? Read the first and second ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. Once you turn the page after Al-Fatiha, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. What's the job of the Quran? Hudan للمتقين. We are coming here to increase our taqwa and we're seeking guidance. So Allah said, you're not guided if you love those 8 more than those 3. والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah described those people who are in this condition that they are فاسقين. They're turning away from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should we do in this dunya? We should make sure that those 3 loves come before those 8. Because those 8 represent the dunya and the 3 represent the akhirah. So the love of the akhirah should be more than the love of the dunya. And the test that I want to put myself and you through is the following. Imagine, we all claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and more than anything. And I want you to think about this scenario. Time is 3 o'clock in the morning. Place is your house. The event or what's happening, there is an adhan, there is a call, there is a cry from the room next to you. The baby is crying. And babies know only one language, it's called crying. If they need food, they are crying. If they need to change their diaper, they are crying. If they feel pain, they are crying. If they need company, they are crying. That's the only language that they know. So when that cry comes, you know, who's going to wake up first? Of course, the mother. Even if the father wakes up, he's going to, you know, try to wake up his wife. He's going to say, your baby's crying. Go and take care of him. And then the woman will rush to stop that cry. And then what happens? She'll try everything. She'll do all the troubleshooting. She'll try to change the diaper. The baby's still crying. The adhan is still on. And she will try to breastfeed him, still crying. Give him medication, still crying. she's going to wake up, her husband's going to say, we have to go to the ER, we have to go to the hospital. And then they go to the hospital, they spend 2 hours, and then the doctor examines the baby, gives the baby the medication, and then they come back home. They put the baby back in bed, and the baby now is sleeping in peace. And then they go back to their beds. What time is it now? It's 6 o'clock in the morning. There's another call comes. Once they put their head on the pillow, another call comes. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What's the response to this call? They did not hesitate to respond to the call of the baby. But when this call comes, you know how we react? Ya Allah, we were in the hospital. We didn't sleep almost the whole night. And you are Ghafur Rahim. You will forgive us. And the adhan continues. As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Especially in this adhan. And then you say, how come? I'm really tired. You know, I need sleep. I can't even wake up. Ya Allah, forgive me. Why didn't you say to your baby, forgive me? Keep crying. Nobody's going to answer your call. But when it comes to Allah, so this is a real test in our life. So stop claiming that you love Allah and act to show that you really love Allah so that you deserve the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the khutbah today is about, does Allah love us? And I'm going to tell you stories of people whom Allah loved and why. Then we're going to end up the second khutbah by giving you some tips. How can we obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I'll share two stories from the Quran and two stories from the Sunnah of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved. So you know the reason why would Allah love someone. If you read in Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, and number 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about a very special person. A person who is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as Khalil. Khalil in the Arabic language is the most intimate form of friendship, closeness. You have sadiq, you have sahib, but Khalil is someone who shares all his secrets with you. Someone who can put his hand into your pocket, take whatever he wants, and you wouldn't even question him. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take Ibrahim alayhi salam as Khalil? You know our language today, especially the youth, they're going to say, lucky you, Ibrahim. No. There's nothing called luck in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Nothing in the universe of Allah happens without his knowledge and permission. Don't say luck or by accident. Maybe you didn't plan it, but Allah planned it. Allah planned this khutbah 50,000 years before the creation of heavens and earth that we're going to meet today. I was not supposed even to be in Canada, but you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans things. So don't say it happened by luck. If you go and study, and I don't have time to cover the whole khutbah about Ibrahim, because it will take me 100 hours to talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam. But you should go and study the biography of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'll just share quickly two scenes from the Quran about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam had no children, according to one narration, for 80 years. Another narration said 100 years. Then Allah gave him Ismail alayhi salam. Imagine being patient without a child. And this is for us to reflect. If you are married and you don't have children, think about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Think about Zakaria alayhi salam. These stories are not there to entertain you. It's for you to reflect. Who am I compared to Ibrahim to have no children? This life is a test. So after having the child, and that child became walking next to him, imagine. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعُهُ السَّعِي. Allahu Akbar. When he became a child walking next to him, and like, now imagine now when you bring your child with you to the masjid, how do you feel about that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he commanded Ibrahim to slaughter his son. And look at this dialogue in the Quran, and look how Ibrahim raised his child. And compare this to you and me. How do we raise our children today?
قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك.
I've seen in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. And a dream by a prophet means revelation. It has to be executed. And look at the dialogue. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to come and take you and slaughter you. Look at the dialogue. He said,
فانظر ماذا ترى.
What do you think? Subhanallah. Do you think he's consulting with him? He's going to do it. But this is the dialogue between him and his child. He raised him in such a way that they open up a dialogue. Imagine if you have a 10-year-old now. Is there a dialogue between you and him? Can you talk to them? Do they talk back to you? And if they talk back, what type of language do they use? Think about this. So Ibrahim knows that his child is a Muslim like him, and he knows Islam.
قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر.
لم يقل ما تأمر. قال ما تؤمر. He said, my dad, do what you have been commanded. Not what you command, because no father would like to kill his son, especially after waiting for 100 years. But the son, look at the language of Iman, he knows that the command is coming from Allah. So he said, you and I are Muslims, and if this is the command of Allah, both of us, we should submit.
ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين.
You will find me, inshallah, amongst those who are patient. Allahu Akbar. Look at the language. He said, you will find me. And he didn't say, من الصابرين. He put, inshallah. That's adab ma'allah. Why? Because he was afraid when the knife will be put there, he might be scared and he might run away. He said, Allah will give me the patience to accept his command, and you go ahead and slaughter me. So when the two of them submitted to Allah, that was a big test for Ibrahim alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. When both of them submitted to the command of Allah, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. He put him on his face, and he put the knife on his neck. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah ransomed Ismail alayhi salam. فَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. With a ram. Okay, and this is why on the 10th of the Hijjah, in commemoration of this incident, we slaughter a ram. To remember that story of the submission of Ibrahim and his son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, what a big test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in ayah 124 in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. He went through so many tests. Imagine when he challenges all the idol worshippers at his time, and he smashes all their idols, but he left the big one. And the entire world was against him. And they made a big fire. And they couldn't even come close to the fire. They have to use al-manganiq. From far away, they have to throw him into the fire. And when he was thrown into the fire, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. He said, Alaka haja ya Ibrahim? Do you need any help, Ibrahim? He said, أما منك فلا. أما من ربي فنعم. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. From you, Jibreel, I don't need any help. But from the one who created me, the one that I believe in, the one that I did this all for him, yes, he's sufficient for me, and he will be the best lawyer for me. He'll take care of me. Right away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the fire. He said, قلنا يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم. فقال العلماء في التفسير ما استفاد أحد من النار في ذلك اليوم لأنها سلبت قواصها. الناس اللي قاعدة تطبخ خلاص النار ملهاش قيمة. It became cool and peaceful. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لو لم يقل الله عز وجل للنار وسلاما لتجمد إبراهيم في النار من شدة البرد. Who created fire? Who's in control of everything? These are two examples of the life of Ibrahim. This is why a story of someone who was loved by Allah in the Quran. Another story, if you go to Surah number 38, Surah Sa'd, and number 41, Allah tells us the story of another one, a very special one. because of a very special quality that he developed in his character. It was someone who was sick for 18 years. I'm not saying 18 months. I'm not saying 18 weeks. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure all of us went through sickness at some point of our life. Or we have some loved ones who are suffering from sickness. This is an example for us. A prophet of Allah who was sick for 18 years and he never complained. He never complained. He accepted the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after 18 years, when he raised his hand to Allah, look at the dua he made, subhanallah. He said, Rabbi anni qad massani yad-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. He did not say, Ya Allah, 18 years is too much for me. Ya Allah, you know, anta shafi ishfin. He didn't even use that. Ya Allah, you are the one who gives the cure, cure me. He said, you are the most merciful. Show me some of your mercy. After 18 years of patience. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah that I mentioned, 41 in surah number 38, Allah said, Inna wajadnahu sabira. We found him to be patient. Are we patient today? If we want to be loved by Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him. He said, Ni'ma al-abd. What a beautiful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who gave you health? There is only one answer. Allah. Who can take it back? Allah. Can you say no? No. Who gave you life? Allah. If he takes it back, if he takes a loved one from you, we should say one word. Allah taught us this. When he gave bushra lis-sabreen. When you read in ayah 156 in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings. Give good news to the patient. Who are they, Allah? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Who are the patient ones? Are they those who complain? Come, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took my husband, he's only 26 years. Come, we have only one child and he's disabled. No, these are not as-sabreen. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. When the calamity hits them, the only thing that comes out of their mouth, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. Yes, we all say it. But how many of us understand it? How many of us, when we say it, we mean it and we feel it? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ means we belong to Allah. My hands belong to Allah. My wife belongs to Allah. My husband belongs to Allah. My children, my work, my car, my house, everything belongs to Allah. And if he takes it back, anyway, to him is our return, all of us. So we accept the qadr of Allah. From the sunnah, two stories of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved. And one of them is about a woman too. Because we always talk about men. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet ﷺ while he was teaching him the Quran. And while he was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ teaching him the Quran, he said, Ya Muhammad, هذه خديجة تأتيك الآن بطعام أو شراب. This is Khadija coming. She's bringing you some food or some drink. أقرئها مني السلام. Please extend my salam to her. That's not even important. وأقرئها من الله السلام. Allahu Akbar. Just close your eyes for a second and imagine a special salam from Jibreel, a special salam from Allah to a human being still alive and walking on earth. What does that mean? Not only that, wait! وَبَشِّرْهَا بِقَصْرٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا صَخَبَ فِيهِ وَلَا نَصَبٍ. And give her the good news while she's still alive. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for her a palace made of a pearl where she will exercise no fatigue nor no noise. That's Khadija radiallahu anha. Again, shall the sisters now say, lucky you Khadija? No sisters. It's not lucky you Khadija. Because Khadija proved to be one of the best across the history of women. in humanity. The Prophet said, كَمُلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ وَلَمْ يَكْمُلْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا أَرْبَعَ أسيا بنت مزاحم, مريم ابنة عمران, خديجة بنت خويلد, وفاطمة بنت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he mentioned Khadija, one of them. Why? Because when the Prophet ﷺ was denied, everybody disbelieved in him. Khadija was the one there who supported him and believed in him. And this is why when Aisha radiallahu anha said, you keep mentioning Khadija, hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced you with a better one? He said, لا والله ما أبدلني الله خيرا منها فقد صدقتني حين كذب للناس وواستني بنفسها ومالها ورزقني منها الله الولد. No, Allah has never replaced me with a better one. She's the one who believed in me when everyone else disbelieved in me. She was always there for me when I needed her. She supported me with herself and her wealth. And Allah granted me all of my children from her, except Ibrahim from Maria the Coptic from Egypt. That's an example of someone that Allah loved. And Allah has given glad tidings. Allah has sent a salam. And Allah has prepared, you know, a palace for her in Jannah. Last story that I want to share with you about someone else. The hadith even didn't mention the name because it's not about the name. People sometimes when they read the Quran, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. When I'm doing tafsir, they say, what's the name of the man? I said, if it's important, Allah would have mentioned it. His name is Habib al-Najjar. Even if you know now, does it make a difference? No, you should look, what did that man do? His name is irrelevant. Otherwise, Allah would have mentioned the name. So in this hadith, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, there was a man who was traveling from his own town to the neighboring town to visit him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent before, like after him, following him, an angel in the form of a man, in the form of a human being, until he reached the outskirts of the town. And then the angel in the form of the man stopped him. He said, إِلَىٰ أَيْنْ قَالْ إِنِّي ذَاهِبْ لِأَزُرْ أَخِي فُلَانْ فِي اللَّهِ. He said, I'm going to visit my brother so-and-so, you know, in Islam, for the sake of Allah. He said, هَلْ لَكَ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تَرُبُّهَا عَلَيْهِ أَلِي قَرَابَةً. Is there a business between you and him? Is he one of your relatives? He said, no. He said, then why? He said, only for the sake of Allah. He said, أَنَا رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ أُبَشِّرُكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَبَّكْ لِحُبِّكَ لِأَخِيكَ فُلَانٍ. I'm a messenger from Allah coming to give you the good news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved you because of your love to your brother so-and-so that you are going to visit. Is this something common in our life today? Even amongst blood brothers and sisters, if your blood brother is coming to visit, you're like, you know, oh, I know he's coming for what? He needs some money. He needs the car. He needs me to go with him and find him a job. Are we doing things for the sake of Allah? This was a very simple reason for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُ. If we can move forward, please, because your brothers are standing at the back. Please, everybody, please. This is a command by Allah. وَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَافْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah will make room for you in Jannah, inshallah. So please, squeeze in, inshallah. الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد, أيها الأحبة في الله, أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. One day the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sitting with the Sahaba and he was playing with the children. And all of a sudden he carried Al-Husayn رضي الله عنه, his grandson. And he said, من أحب هذا أحبه الله. Whoever loves this boy, Allah would love him. Why? Because he's out of the household of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. هو من أهل البيت رضي الله عنه. And we, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we love Ahl al-Bayt, alhamdulillah. And we respect them, but we don't go into exaggerations. So I started thinking, what about trying to find some tips that would lead us to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I came across an article written by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, where he wrote many tips that can guide us, inshallah, to obtain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me mention them, inshallah, and conclude the second khutbah quickly, inshallah. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih al-Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the nearest heaven every single night in the third portion of the night, the last few hours before Fajr. And he extends his hand subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, is there anyone who would ask me for anything and I'll give it to him or her? This is the time when you should be there in sujood, asking Allah, Ya Allah, grant me your love. Because if Allah loves you, He'll take you to Jannah. May Allah love us all and take us to Jannah, inshallah. Number two, you know, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't tell me that you love something or someone and you don't talk about them. People who love cars, whenever you sit with them, they're going to be talking about cars. People who love their children, they will always be talking about their children. You know? If people, you know, whatever you like, you're going to be talking about all the day. And then if I ask you, do you love Allah? The answer is like, yes! I'm going to say, how much do you talk about Him every day? How much do you remember Him every day? You know what? You know what you get if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at ayah number 152 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. Remember me and I will remember you. Ya Allah. Can you imagine if you remember Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers you. Allah said, إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي عَبْدِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي وَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي عَبْدِي فِي مَلَئٍ عِنْدَهُ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ عِنْدِي خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. If my slave remembers me within himself, I do the same. And if he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering better than that gathering, which is the gathering of angels above seven heavens. Number four. Number three, we need to go back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect with the Quran, because this is the way that we know Allah. This is the way we know how to submit to Allah. And these are the words of Allah. Imagine if you receive a letter from a loved one, you keep reading the letter again. But if Allah is talking to you, how would you enjoy that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muhammad, Surah 47, ayah number 24, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Don't they reflect on the Quran? Don't they see through the words the deep meaning of the Quran? Or are their hearts locked and sealed because of their sins? When this ayah that I'm going to recite now, which is ayah number 16 in Surah Al-Hadid, Surah number 57, Ibn Mas'ud in Sahih Muslim has been reported to have said, we were only 4 years old in Islam. We were just Muslims for 4 years. And when this ayah was revealed, we used to meet each other and cry and say, Allah is blaming us. And the ayah is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Isn't it time for the believers that they will have khushu'? How many of us are struggling in khushu' and salah? How many of us come to the masjid and while we say Allahu Akbar, the moment you say Allahu Akbar, the business comes, the children comes, and everything that you have outside comes. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. What's their first quality? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So the Sahaba used to come and say, Allah is blaming us. And then they started asking the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, yes, you need to do khushu'. You need to have khushu' in your salah. You need to struggle against shaitan and yourself to respect Allah for 10 minutes in your salah and to focus on what you're saying or what you're listening to. So we need to go back to the book of Allah and connect. Number four, we need to understand that we have to surround ourselves by people who love Allah so they will remind us of the love of Allah, then Allah will love us. Can you imagine when you read every single Friday Surah Al-Kahf, Surah number 18, ayah number 22, Allah mentioned the dog many times. What's a dog? What's the value of a dog? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention the dog many times? سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ قَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ. How many times? Not only that, Allah even described the way the dog was sitting in front of the cave. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. Why? It was because of the company that the dog has. He was accompanying whom? إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. So the value and the mention of the dog is because of the good company. So you have to surround yourself with people who love Allah, so they will remind you of Allah, then Allah will love you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, we should be ready for the meeting with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know, see in Sahih Bukhari, hadith is reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said that the Prophet said, "Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a." Whoever loves to meet with Allah, Allah loves to meet with him. Brothers and sisters, all of us will meet with Allah. When? Allah answered this in the last ayah of Surah Luqman, ayah number 34 and Surah number 31.
وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ.
No one knows how much they will earn tomorrow. No one knows. No one knows where they're going to die. So wallahi, I can't guarantee to step down to lead the salah. So if this is the case, I should be ready to meet with Allah. And if I know I'm going to meet with Allah, what should I do? I should make tawbah from everything. I should stop any disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. Then I will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than that, we should study the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, because sometimes we select some of the names of Allah and we leave others. You know, when you read Allah is as-sami' al-basir, and you understand this, so whenever you try to commit a sin and try to hide from people and whisper, then you're going to say, no, Allah is as-sami', Allah can hear me. I'm not going to backbite, I'm not going to gossip, I'm not going to slander, I'm not going to do this. When you know that Allah is al-basir, you don't say, I'm going to hide from people, nobody can see me. No, look up, Allah can see you. You're going to stop doing this. And when you read in Surah Al-Hijr, Surah number 15, and number 49 and ayah number 50, we need to study both ayahs. Because we always are ambitious, we're always greedy when it comes to the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness, but when it comes to punishment, we don't think about that. Yes, Allah said in 49,
نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Oh Muhammad, yes, say to my slaves, I am the all-forgiving, the all-merciful, for those who deserve it, for those who make mistakes and come back to Allah. But for those who disrespect Allah all the time and they don't care, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. And my punishment is severe too. So as long as Allah is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful, He punishes too. You should be aware of the two. So study the names and attributes of Allah that will guide you to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, people who claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam but they don't follow his sunnah. How dare you say this? When he used to talk to the people of the book, they say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. Just take care of yourself. We're the children of Allah and Allah loves us. Allah answered them in ayah 31, surah number 3, surah Al-Imran. Allah said,
قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ.
Oh Muhammad, say to them, if you claim that you love Allah,
فَاتَّبِعُونِي.
Then follow me. What's the result?
يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ.
Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He forgive your sins. If Allah loves you and forgives your sins, what else do you want? Last thing I want to share with you is develop good character. Like Ayyub alayhi salam, patience. You know what Allah says about the patient people? You know, you read in ayah number 152 in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. If you need the company of Allah, be patient. Verily, Allah is with those who are patient. And if you read in ayah number 146, in surah number 3, Surah Al-Imran, Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. And indeed, Allah loves those who are patient. Would you like to be loved by Allah? Be patient. Develop that character of patience. Last thing, you know, nawafil are a way to the love of Allah. مَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. do extra voluntary acts of worship like salah in the night. Salat, you know, like, you know, sunshine salah, which we call it salat al-shuruq or salat al-duha. You know, pray, like, fast during Mondays and Thursdays as an awafil.